going to use for a message today. He is, I am. To our dream visions. I said, He is, I am. To our dream visions. Father, I pray for the word of God right now. I pray for the handler of your word, because your word is already anointed, Father. So I pray that you would anoint, God, the handler of your word as I speak about your name. Your name is holy, and we pray that I, as a servant, may borrow the time to speak of thy name and speak of thy bountifulness and the abundance of grace that you've given us, house, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Now, I'm going to try and get through this message without going off somewhere in my own worship. Some of you know that about me, and I describe myself as having a glass that's totally full. You ever had a glass and you filled it up in the kitchen and you filled it up too full and you're just trying to get from the kitchen to the living room? That's kind of how I am in church these days. I just come here, and I know that if I walk too fast and if you tilt me too much, then I might spill something over. I just try and get from church back to home without spilling over. But if it's too many of you in here that's been through something like I have, you might bump me in the spirit. Come on, Brother Hart, are you there? If it's too many of you here that have had your faith tested with fire, scorpions all around, demons all around you, you might bump me in the spirit. Don't bump me too much, because I won't get a thing done up here, but praising God. Can you say amen? Don't bump me. I said, don't bump me, because I will. You won't hear a thing in English at that point. I'm just me and God. We gone. So last Sunday, for those of you that were not here, Pastor closed the message with us being led to express our personal vision of seeing our dreams fulfilled by writing them down and placing them in these boxes that you see up here. They represent a type of tabernacle, a place to leave your petitions, your offerings, and your sacrifices before God. Can you say amen? But what is a dream? And what is a vision? In the regular nomenclature of talking about dreams, the lines of distinction between a dream and a vision have become so nebulous that the terminologies are used almost interchangeably. In a traditional sense, dreams are living mental images of occurrence that occur in our sleep. Can you say amen? Functions of dream vary per individual, and the purpose is found in Job 33 and 14, which says, dreams are for instructions. Dreams are for warnings to preserve man from danger. Dreams bring revelations to reveal the future. Dreams bring encouragement to encourage for the present life. Yet dreams have various sources. First of all, dreams come from God. Genesis 20 and 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Talk about waking up in a cold sweat, having God tell you you're a dead man. Whoo! That'll wake you up real good, wouldn't it? But I know in this church, all kind of stuff could be happening in the pews, and I want to say, if that's you, bruh, you better leave her alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? Cut her loose. It's not worth it. Can you say amen? The second source of dreams is from the devil. Like nightmares, that's because God does not bring us a spirit of fear. The nightmares come to frighten us and lead us astray from God. But because dreams are a spiritual highway that the spirits have access to, then that same highway is open to the devil as well. Did you know that? So the same channel God used to speak to you, the enemy of God can use that same channel to speak to you also. and give you some stuff that didn't come from God. Are you praying with me? The third type of dream is in a person's heart. When you think so much about something that you just want it. You just want something so bad that you just continually think about it. It becomes a dream in your heart. Now, some of you single sisters keep lusting after a man. You think about him all day. You get home at night and say, I had a dream about you. God didn't give you that dream. You lusted that dream to sleep. You went to sleep with that dream. Can you say amen? But it's the same for you men. Some of you men dream about being a millionaire. So all you think about is, I want to be a millionaire. And you go to sleep and said, God said I'm going to be a millionaire. God didn't say that. You lusted that dream. Y'all praying with me? Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, do not be hasty in word or impulsiveness in thoughts to bring up a matter to the presence of God. Don't bring God anything like that. He says, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For the dreams come through much effort and the voice of a fool through many words. So therefore, our dreams should be either birthed by him or well thought out requests made before God. Can you say amen? Ecclesiastes said, don't bring God anything like that. You approach God with a sincerity of heart of what God might speak to you, but don't bring God a bunch of stuff is what that scripture is saying. Are you praying with me? In fact, in our everyday nomenclature, we have in many instances substituted the meaning of a dream which occurs in the night with the strong desire we have for something that came about during the day of our planning and of our thoughts. We call it our dream job or our dream house or we're living the dream or nevertheless, there is a difference between dreams and visions. The Hebrew word for vision in Habakkuk 2:3 is quasar, to gaze at, to mentally perceive, to contemplate with pleasure is what we have for a vision. So in that sense, this is where many of us are with our dreams. We placed in this box last Sunday. We have these mental images that brings pleasant thoughts. It's a vision that we have of things that we desire that God would do for us. A vision of seeing your family saved. A vision of building God a spiritual house, one of my personal visions. Or even CT's vision to build God a physical house. A vision of healing for your body. A vision of a restored relationship, of being set free from an addiction. A vision of being financially free. A vision of a career you always wanted, or even a vision for a child. But let me ask you a question about the vision dream. These mental images that bring pleasant thoughts that you placed in this box last Sunday. How many of you would say that the vision you wrote down came from God? Should be some hands up here. Put a hand up. All right, y'all scared of me, aren't you? Right? You don't know if I'm tricking you or what. I know what's going on here. You don't trust me right now. Put my hand up and Or how many of you would say that the vision is dedicated to God? Any hands on that one? It's all right. You can trust me. Or how many of you would say that God has to do it or it won't get done at all? There ought to be a few hands on that one. But let me say this. I also wonder, do we really know how to process our dreams and visions to give birth to what our desires are to see come to fruition? I also wonder if we carry the right perspective and understanding of God's process for bringing it to pass. In other words, what are you doing in the interim while you're waiting? You placed the cards in the box last Sunday. Now what? What happens now in the interim of this time that you've dropped this in here and you said, now I've turned this over unto God? What happens now? It's not likely, but is there anybody in here that from last Sunday to this Sunday already received what you wrote down on that card from last week. Brother Burris, you said it's not likely that it happened in 1 week. Why do you say that? Well, because your vision, and if your vision is dedicated to God, or if it's a petition that has to come from God, or if it's something that you want to do for God, then it must please God. You got that? It's got to please God. It's got to please God. Now, the word says in order to please God, it must come by faith. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are y'all praying with me? God cannot accept anything we leave for him at this altar without faith, because it would not please him. To please means to gratify by giving what is acceptable. Abel had an acceptable offering because it was by faith. We must leave God an acceptable offering or request. Are you praying with me? Therefore, our vision, any vision, dream, or petition we gave over to God to accomplish in these boxes that does not require faith to accomplish it is not acceptable unto God. Did you hear that? It must be of faith. Hebrews 11:6 goes on to state that for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Stop right there. I said he that cometh to God must first of all believe that he is. So if you need God to deliver you, you have to believe by faith that he is. If you are in trouble and you have to believe by faith that he is. If you're sick in your body, you have to believe that what? He is. That he is what, Pastor Burks? That he is what? That he is I am. This is the only name God gave to himself. All other names are used to describe his nature and his character. But in Exodus, this is the name God gave to himself. Let's read it. He said, then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name unto all generations. Did you hear that? God said, this is my name, not just then, not just later on, but right now unto all generations. My name is I Am. Can you say amen? It is my name. I am is my name. I am the God of all sufficiency. I am the God that delivers thee. It is his name, I say. Therefore, it profanes, it dishonors the name of God. When we take, first of all, his name denotes what he is in himself. I am that I am. Sound like Sam, I am. But God says, I am that I am. But there is none other. This explains his name. Jehovah signifies that, number one, that he is self-existent. He has his being in himself. Doesn't need anybody else. That he is eternal and unchangeable and always the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he is incomprehensible. We cannot be by searching find him out. That he is faithful and true to all his promises, unchangeable in his word as well as in his nature. Let Israel know that I am has sent you. Let Israel know I am has sent you. It means that Yahweh is present, accessible, near to those who call on him for deliverance, forgiveness, and guidance. And what God is to his people, he is I am. Are y'all praying with me? it therefore profanes, it therefore dishonors, it therefore disgraces the name. When we say, I am sick, oh, hear me, I am not able, I am depressed, I am discouraged, I am poor, I am weak, it dishonors the name of God when we say it like that. Thus the songwriter penned these words, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because why? I am is the God of all proficiency. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You have to turn that around and say, my body might be sick, but I am is my deliverer. I might be in trouble, but I am is my deliverer. I might be bruised and broken, but I am is the balm in Gilead. I might be cast down, but I am is the lifter of my head. I might be poor and lacking, but I am is all sufficiency. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I am. Can you pray with me? Hallelujah. The worshiper has to believe that the existence of God is real. That Yahweh is near and that he was watching you when you placed your dream visions in this box. But here's the rub. Here's the rub. It's all unseen. What's unseen? All of it's unseen. I am is unseen. Your vision is unseen. Your dreams are unrealized. It's all invisible. Are y'all praying with me? I did not say you don't have it or he has not given to you, but he will not let us see it. Come on, pray with me. It's how God planned to make faith and hope work interchangeably. He blinded our eyes from seeing our hope and the things we desire in this box. It's not going to let you see it. Not now. But why? It doesn't mean he has not already done it. In fact, if you submitted your dream in faith, it's already done. You just can't see it yet with your natural eyes. Ha! You just can't see it right now. Now, this is what makes our vision dream acceptable or pleasing to God. God gave us faith, which is the substance of, watch this, the invisible things hoped for. These things that we have in here that we cannot see, God says your faith is the substance. Your faith allows you to touch that thing that you cannot see. Can you pray with me? It was birthed in hope. It's like a woman being pregnant with a baby. You can rub the baby. You know the baby's there. The baby kicks and the baby moves. But you cannot see the baby. You cannot see what the baby looks like. The baby is still birthed in hope. Faith is the substance of things not seen. Huh? Faith is the substance of things not seen. The invisible things, faith is the substance of things not seen. The invisible things, faith is the substance of things not seen. The invisible things, God says, I give you a substance to work with. Romans 8 and 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So if God keeps our vision dreams invisible for a little while, it allows patience to work in us. Can you say amen? He's got to not let you see it for a little while so patience can have its perfect work in you. God wants to get something out of what he's going to do for you. Are you praying with me? Because, so if God keeps his visions, dreams invisible for a little while, it pleases him. Why? Because while you are waiting, patience is working in us. Our image is being changed into his likeness. When you talk about an image, That means it's becoming more visible. You can see images. It becomes more visible. Christ's likeness becomes more visible. We begin to see and act more like Christ. So y'all praying with me? He begins to become more visible with Christ's likeness as patience is working in us. Are you praying with me? This is why I say it. It is unlikely that anyone that turned a card in last week already received it in 1 week. It's possible if you've got that kind of faith. Now, faith, it's possible, but also probably unlikely because God wants to get something out of you. Are you praying with me? Let me offer one more illustration of faith and hope and patience working together. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Had to do with not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall what? See him as he is. Now, that said that now by faith we are the sons of God right now. But what's missing here? We don't look like it. We don't see who God says that we are except by the eyes of faith. Now, I don't care what Donnie and Pastor Joe say. There's nobody in here that looks angelic. They may want you to believe they're the best looking angels from heaven. But you're still not. You don't look like the Son of God that God says you're going to be. It's not visible to us at this time. Are y'all still praying with me? But here it says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall what? See him. Now here it is. Now we're going to see him. That means we are going to receive the end of our hope. So then, but here comes the patience. But we know that when we see him, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now when we see Christ returning to take us with him, it is the fulfillment of our hope. Why? Because we saw our hope. And we will like that which we saw. In other words, we just saw the manifestation of our hope. What we've been longing for and what everybody in this room here is waiting for is what? To see the end of our hope, which is what? To receive our glorified bodies just like Christ did right here. All of Christianity can be summed up right here in this text. This is what your faith journey is all about. You are waiting for the transformation, the redemption of your bodies to be glorified. You're waiting for that right now. In the meantime, what is God doing? He's using patience to work in you the image of his likeness that you become to look more and more like him every day, because an image is something that you can behold with your eyes. Are you praying with me? So we're waiting. Patience is working. And this is why we are saved by hope. Why? Because we cannot stay right here in 1 John 3:2, the confessing, believing sons of God right now. That is not redemptive. Us confessing, I am the Son of God. Beloved, now am I the Son of God. It doesn't do anything for you. Except by faith to make you purify yourself and make you more like him. But it's not redemptive. It's not redemptive because why? Because you have to see the end of that thing. You cannot stay right here. It is when we are changed like him that we are saved by hope. So therefore, we are saved by the end of our hope. Can you say amen? The end of a thing is where our redemption lies. Not right now. We're just having patience working in us. So what that means is as you turn your vision dream over to God in faith, it has to take off on a journey of testing. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, I am. So here your little vision is. You have a vision for God that God says, I must now test. Little vision says, bye, Anthony, I got to go. Where are you going? I got to go out to the wilderness. The great I am says, go out there now, let me test you. Your vision goes out there. Here you've got scorpions and snakes and demons around the corner and the heat of the sun and the loneliness of the night. And you're out there and your vision's just out there. Just waiting. But the great I Am says, I am with you. Lo, I am with you. Hallelujah. Then your vision runs into a demonic attack in your home. Looks like you're getting just the opposite of what you prayed for. And you're praying for, you want to give up on the vision, head back home. But then you hear the voice of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord was saying to Jeremiah 1 and 19, they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Can you say amen? I'm about to blow a tire. Y'all pray for me. For somebody else, you may have found your vision in a strange land with your wife and your son or your daughter in some trouble and wonder, who can deliver me out of it? Jacob found himself in some trouble and was running for his life and did not even think he would live through the night. And he wrestled with God for a blessing vision. Then the Spirit of the Lord would say to your vision as he spoke it to Jacob when he said, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Can you say amen? I am is with you through the testing. Jacob woke up in his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. You know God is with you, and sometimes you don't even know it. The great I Am is right there beside you, and you're not in this thing by yourself. I Am is with you, and he will deliver you out of all your trouble. He that cometh to God must believe that he is I Am to your dream visions. Even though you pass through the fire and the testing, I Am is with you. When the children of Israel were in the desert, I Am provided miracle bread, manna from heaven. I want to call that manna wonder bread. How many of you remember eating wonder bread, Robert? Anybody remember wonder bread? It debuted. It came out in 1921. And they had the first bread to offer up sliced bread. Thus the saying come, it's the best thing since sliced bread. But here's where they promoted themselves. They said that their bread has 30% of the nutrients you need, the equivalency of an 8-ounce glass of milk. They came out with a slogan that said, mothers, when your children are acting weird and you don't understand what's going on, you wonder. You wonder, are they missing what the miracle bread could have provided? In like manner, I say to the children of God, I Am has provided his miracle bread, slow baked and fresh every day with all the nutrients that you need for your daily lives while traveling with this vision through the wilderness. But if we don't go and gather it, and we see the enemy seemingly getting an edge on us, and we start losing our battles, you wonder. You wonder, are you missing something that God had for you to get you through that time of testing? You wonder, have I missed something here? Did I sidestep what God has to get me through this time of testing? Are you praying with me? The manna, I have a video I want to show right quick. I want to see if you hear the spirit in my video. I'm going to pull a Pastor Hurd on y'all. My video, Robert. I'm doing a Richard Hurd this morning.
The joy of childhood at any age, for you, for her, for generations, Wonder Bread has been your favorite. And now it's free of artificial preservatives, free of artificial colors, free of artificial flavors. What other bread makes you feel this free? New Wonder Bread, the same fresh taste you love. fresh daily for joyful nutrition.
Did you hear the spirit in that? See, you got to hear it. I heard the spirit when I heard that. Made fresh every day. God has manna for you. Make fresh. A fresh load comes in every day. Fresh bread with all the nutrients you need in life. Are you praying with me? Wonder miracle bread. The conditions of living on I Am provision is this. First of all, God wants you to remember how he provided for you in the time of your wilderness. He says, fill an omer with about a quart of it and keep it for generations, which means that God wants you to tell your children's children what he has done for you. Second, he takes personal when you complain about his provision. The children of Israel began complaining at the 30th day, you brought us out here to die, Moses. They hadn't even run out of food yet, just ran a little bit low, and they already said, we're going to die. It's analogous to us sometimes, and we look in our cabinets, and we're running a little low on food, and we're already saying, God, I ain't going to live tomorrow. Or it's analogous to us turning a card in, and already after 30 days, God, I turned in a vision, ain't nothing happened yet. Third, when you complain about a situation, you are complaining against God. They complained against Moses and Aaron, but God said, that's a complaint against me. Why? Because he's given you total provision. If God's given you total provision, everything that happened from that point forward, God says, that's on me. That's on me. So when you say, we don't never have enough, I'm so tired of living like this. I'm so tired of church. What church? Church? What? I'm tired. God said, that's on me. Why? Because I am in total care of your provision. And you're not murmuring to your husband. You're not murmuring to your wife. You're murmuring unto the great I am. Y'all praying. The manna was only available in the morning. You can't pick up manna at 2:00. It fell like dew. Dew from heaven. Dew is gone by 2:00. You go out there, dew on the ground at 2 or 3:00 in the afternoon. It's no dew out there. The heat burned it up. So you can only get manna in the morning. My wife and I, we gather morning about 4 a.m. every morning. We've only missed doing it 2 times. And God showed me a lesson. On the first time we missed it, she was at a standstill, at a stop, and a car came and just ran into and towed the car out. Woo, we said, we missed that. We should have done that again. We can't let that happen. Yet, we did it again. We missed it one more time. I was at the bank in line. Car just caught on fire. What the world? Smoke coming everywhere. Fire truck come put it out. I already knew. God, I forgot my manner. Have mercy, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I remember I didn't get my manna this morning. Car just caught on fire, just sitting there, just nothing. So let me tell you, me and Callan, we don't miss getting our manna in the morning anymore. Every morning, we come together with our hands in prayer and say, God, give us your strength for this day. Your strength for this day. We can overtake this day, and this day shall not overtake us, for we stand in the strength of Almighty God. Those who saw the cloud, they knew where to get the manna. Wherever the cloud was, the manna was found right there beneath it. You've got to follow the cloud that God is leading you into. The manna is found in the cloud, and it's on the ground. One day my wife said, I'm in a hurry. Let's just stand up and pray. We can't stand up and pray. You can't gather manna standing up. You got to bow yourself to the mother's earth. Father, we come to you humbly. You can't pick up manna standing up. It's an act of humility of saying that I am dependent upon the great I am for my sufficiency. So I humble myself. I humble myself before you, O God. You are the great source. You are the great I am. And I humbly gather your manna. I gather it on the ground. I am does not want you to complain about the way it used to be before you went on his manna. The children of Israel complained, and they said, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by pots of meat. They were saying, I wish it was the way it used to be. God asked me this question one day. He says, Anthony, do you prefer the way things used to be before this fire of affliction came to you? Or do you desire my lowered hand of provision, miracle bread from heaven every day? I said, God, I choose your provision. I choose the manna of God, even the way it used to be. Y'all don't hear me. For God promises you bread every morning. He gave them meat. Here it was. God says, you want meat, I'll give you meat. God caused quails to come in from Europe to Arabia, and the birds were so tired, the legend says, that all they could do is just flap. They couldn't even run. All they had to do was go out there and just pick up bread. Can you say amen? Pick up meat. The birds couldn't even take flight. I am made it easy and accessible that I am your great provider. Can you say amen? Don't have to chase a bird. He's just right here in front of you. So your murmur may sound like this. It sounds like we were doing better before, but when God asked me that question, it came to me. I got to wrap it up. It came to me that in a prayer time, he showed me a long table. I want to say it was about as long as this wall to this one. And on that table, it had so much provision. It had fruits and bread and honey and all kinds of things from one end all the way to the other. And I wept, and I said, God, this is too much for me. I can't consume all of this. It's too much, God. What will I do with all this that's left over? God said, it's an expression of my bountifulness. That's why the word says he is more than enough. And he doesn't just get you by. He has more than enough and plenty left over. Are you praying with me? So that means that if you come to me for encouragement, I've got something left over. I'll probably encourage you. If you come to me for prayer, I've got enough faith left over. I can pray for you. I have a word. I know lately I went to get my glasses and at Vision Source at Deerbrook Mall up here, and the woman was adjusting my eyes for the glasses. And I said, ma'am, I see something on you. Do you mind if I tell you? She says, it's okay. I said, I see a 14-year-old girl your hands are taking care of. Do you have a daughter? She says, yes, she's 14. I said, God showed me that, a provision that he has for you to take care of her in that same office. I told another lady, I see your father, and I see him, and there's turmoil between you and him. She says, how did you know? I never told you that. I tell you, I went back to Deerbrook. If you go in there now, they say, that man who tells us things, they come in there, I come in now, tell me something, lay your hands on my head, put your hands on my head, tell me, what do you tell me? My turn, tell me now, hey, can you tell me? More than enough. I went down the street to Chase Bank. I said, ma'am, I see something on your husband. She said, what do you see? I said, he's a mom. Well, Spirit stopped me. He said, no, he's a mother's. No, his mother has a big influence on him. I said, he's a fourth child of three sisters. And he likes beer. He's got a mustache. She said, are you finished? I said, yes, I am. She said, his mother thinks she's going to run my house. She's not going to run my house. I'm not going to let her run my house. Got enough left over and a word for somebody else. This is going on quite a bit now. Everywhere I go, I got a word for somebody. Home Depot, the courthouse, anywhere I go, I got a word because there's something left over. There's provision enough, more than I need. I got to hurry. Look at here. We saw this campaign started. I had legal bills. 2014, I had a bill for $110,000. If anybody had an excuse not to opt out on the campaign, I probably would have qualified. But I said, no, God, you are the great I am. You are more than enough. God gave me a number. He gave me seven fives. Five is the number of grace. Seven, completion. God said this is a nothing but grace offering with divine completeness. Can you say amen? Do the math. That's $55,555.55. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God has provided. So here's where I am. He's provided. That $110,000 bill has been paid off. Can you say amen? On the same week, I bought a house cash for $63,000. God is more than enough. I've never lived like this. I've never experienced God's provision like I am right now. Are y'all praying with me and for me? I said it's more than enough. In Daniel, I want to say this word. Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to heat the fire seven times more than usual. You know what that shows me? It shows the enemy's passion to consume you, to consume me. Seven times hotter. He tied up his, he took his strongest men and he bound them up. He said he bound all three of them up together in one with the strongest man he could find. Not an ordinary man, but the strongest man. You bind them up, all of them together, and then throw them down. That represents spiritually the enemy's strongest attack on you. He tied them up in the trousers, in the coats, in the caps, and all their clothes represents total loss. The enemy wants to take everything from you. Huh? That's what he wants. And cast him in the midst of the fire, the hottest crisis. But I am. Nebuchadnezzar said, what? Did we not throw them bound, cast down? But I see them up walking. What happened? God used the fire to burn the ropes. God used the fire to burn the ropes. The very situation that you're in, that the enemy has set to bind you, God will use a fire to burn him, to burn the ropes. He said then, when he saw them, he said, I behold them that the fire hath no power. The fire hath no power over their bodies. Why? Because the I am is in control of the elements. The I am is in control of the flood. That's why Isaiah said, when you pass through the fires and the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor the flame kindle on you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. 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 Daddy's going to come pray over you. Come to the front now. Daddy's going to come pray. Want to pray that God will burn the ropes. He'll burn the ropes of whatever has got you bound and tied. He'll use a fire, the very fire you're going through, to burn the ropes.